fucking lost my job today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, working
at Kern. I was the guy that did all of Nathan J. Robinson's dry cleaning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I was his golf, what do you call it? Caddy. I was his golf caddy, and he fired me because I was like, maybe I should make more than $1 an hour.
His chauffeur.
Yeah, yeah. His chauffeur gets fired because he talked back.
I was his fluffer, but you would think that meant one thing, but it actually, I thought it meant something, but apparently it just meant fluffing his pillows that he was going to sit down on his horse-driven carriage.
You're forgetting that Nathan really likes wearing feather boas, so it's just literally fluffing the feather boas for him. Or remember he wore that bird costume?
There was a lot of fluffing involved. pillows, boas, coats.
He's very delicate.
His boyfriend.
His bones are like glass. They're very brittle.
They call him Mr. Glass. The kids call him that.
Yeah, they call him Mr. Glass.
Yeah.
Once again, it sucks to be proven right all the time, but I always knew this was going to happen. I mean, absolutely. He's replacing the entire workforce with Oompa Loompas because, one, they take up half the space, and two, you can pay them pennies on the dollar, and three, they're here on visas, so you have absolute control over mm-hmm. them because they're immigrants.
Yeah, that's what's so strange about Willy Wonka is that in the book, they're from a country. Like, they're not a mystical land. They're just people.
In the book, they're just small black people. And they were like, well, we simply can't make the movie be this horrendously racist as books were allowed to be back then. They must be orange and not black.
Yeah. So that's what Nathan J. Robinson is doing. The book version.
And then mm-hmm. there's that one kid that gets chocolate on his face, technically making him in blackface, which I find to be very disturbing.
I find that
that's
to be
true.
Very
that's why he's immediately
upsetting.
Canceled out of the movie. Yeah, yeah, for blackface.
Gets
canceled out
a pipe.
Of being alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be funny. If you canceled people by like sending them up a pneumatic tube.
Uh-huh. Well, why doesn't somebody just cancel Nathan J. Robinson? It's not, I mean, it's not like cancellation only works when it's somebody denying somebody's like actual ability to perform labor. It's not like you can't cancel somebody who is the owner of the means of production, right? Right? Right?
Yeah. So. you'd think that should be the way it would work, but however,
we're going to find out in the coming days if someone can be canceled merely through being owned on Twitter hard enough, because my man is getting ratioed.
Yeah.
Hard.
He hasn't posted. He's doing a big sort of Connor Golden kind of thing of just like not posting.
Let's just say there's a move people do when they're accused of heinous things where sometimes those people don't delete their Twitter account, but they immediately stop posting or liking anything and they fall off the face of the earth.
Right. They just stop using Twitter. Mm-hmm. And that is basically how people just disappear, which
I
think
is... What do you think his pivot's going to be?
I honestly don't know. This feels like really hard to come back from. Like, because it seems like he assumed he could just like hire new writers who would like do what he said. But you know, like, who was going to read a socialist magazine run by a liberal?
He could join up with somebody with a similar sense of fashion and start a new publication with Tucker Carlson.
There you go.
Just guys with bow ties.
Yeah. Well, welcome everyone to BB Bledis. And on the off chance you don't know what we're talking about, Nathan J. Robinson recently fired the whole staff of Current Affairs because they wanted to unionize, apparently.
Well,
it's very, very funny.
It's not just unionize. What they wanted to do was like actually turn it into a co-op.
Right. Yeah.
Like in the sense like the board would own the magazine,
mm-hmm.
Which is, I guess, the eventual goal of a union.
Sure.
They kind of presented it like, well, you've been saying you were eventually going to do this.
Mm-hmm. She
for
says
years.
Like, or like the statement that all the writers released together says that they specifically hired a business manager to help make the workplace more democratic. Like it was ostensibly like a thing they were working towards. And this is interesting because it's like sometimes people like it's like this can be a huge pitfall is if you like work at a place where they're like, oh, you know, you don't really need a union because we're already like share the same goals. And it's like, if they'd had a union already, I mean, I'm sure you would have fired them already, but it's like funny that like it's when push comes to shove that you actually find out like what your boss really thinks, like even if you have a socialist quote unquote
boss.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I mean, this is the kind of stuff I think that kind of proves that capitalists are the power hungry ones. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. if there's money on the line.
I don't know. I think I'm going to need more conclusive proof that capitalists are power hungry.
It sounds obvious, but this is the kind of stuff that the CIA for decades has been putting on the Soviets mm-hmm. and the Cubans of like, actually, once you get into power, power, like, I think what's annoying to me is that people are going to start using this as like absolute power corrupts absolutely thing where it's sure, like, yeah, see, yeah. Socialists get into power and then don't. And it's like, Nathan J. Robinson is anti-communist,
right?
Like, yeah, he's yeah. he's explicitly been like, we don't, well, like, Marx and I don't see eye to eye, kind of like Lenin was a fascist kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Like,
cool, extremely cool. The two extremely cool things that only extremely cool people believe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. I mean, like, the very first issue of Current Affairs has a whole thing about how, like, Lenin was bad, but also did some good things article. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just like...
kind of like the Taliban.
Yeah, Lenin and the Taliban... absolutely on the same level of good and political correctness. Mm-hmm. And so I think what's annoying is that you're going to have this sort of sense of like, oh, socialists don't really mean what they're saying, as though Nathan J. Robinson wasn't being roasted by anyone who cares about politics. From the minute he stepped into the public eye.
Yeah, it's like at best he was a sort of like, he was explaining why, like, you know, stuff like Medicare for All or like government programs to help poor people in the US would be good. Like, he had some good articles that like would be, I feel like, be useful to send to someone who is like, doesn't really know anything about socialism and be like, all right, here's your first step is like, think about this stuff. And then once you've handled that, we can move on to means of production. But like, Nathan J. Robinson apparently never like really wanted to move on to means of production. He just kind of wanted to like...
He didn't want to move on to anything. Yeah. He just wanted to own a
He wanted
magazine.
To establish a media career. Somebody dug up some article from when he was in like an expensive private prep school about one of... he was one of like 24 people in the entire state to where he lived. I think it was California. To get a perfect score on the SAT.
Wow.
If you're good enough at taking tests, whatever. But what he says about it, he said, I took it for a second time. I actually find it fun.
Oh, man. Yeah, so that is like anyone who is like obsessed or like cares and thinks that their SAT score like actually reflects on their intelligence as a person, I think is deep down a very dumb person, because you think that like some fucking... stupid test.
Well, you like don't understand how like the edges of the creation of the test. Like you exceed in the framework. Mm-hmm. Like you can't see outside of the framework of the setting.
Yeah, you're just like, well, I did perfect on this, which must mean I have perfect intelligence.
I'm
like,
right. A genius.
Yeah, it's like Aaron Sorkin bullshit. Because that's like, there's some episode of The West Wing where like President Bartlett is like reminiscing about how he missed one question on the SAT and like wishes he'd done better. I know, it's like when I was like a kid, I was like, I guess this makes sense. And then the older I got, I was like, what kind of fucking adult man, like like man in his 60s or 50s or whatever, is like, oh, I should have gotten a better score on the SAT. It's like, because Aaron Sorkin is a dumbass who thinks he's a genius and probably like still knows his SAT score by heart, and like that's how he has his smart characters show they're smart, is like bragging about SAT scores.
Yeah, Robinson is like this kind of guy who, I mean, going back, you know, I think that article, he was interviewed when he was 16. Mm-hmm. And also, like, who takes the SAT at 16? I thought you're supposed to take that in your senior year of high school. I don't know, whatever,
maybe he got bumped up, man.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, even worse if that's the case, but like, this kid has been like yearning for power, yearning to become part of the elite, yearning to become inducted into like the PMC journalist class to get power and influence from that early of an age. Like, it's, I mean, there are plenty of people like that, and a lot of them, you know, they're quiet about it and they work behind the scenes. And they work at places like the Washington Post or the New York Times, but you never hear about them like that. But they are also who is not only influencing what some of the worst like demographics in the country think, but also they're, you know, indirectly influencing policy. which like, you know, people like David Brooks, like all of the ghouls that masterminded the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan in the media class, they're just like Nathan J. Robinson. Nathan J. Robinson just happened to see an opening in like this newly forming kind of left movement where he was like, oh, I'm going to take advantage of this and ostensibly be a publication like along the lines of Jacobin, which also is maybe less outwardly the same way, but it was a pure grift from the beginning.
Yeah. I mean,
Jacobin's like pretty socked them too.
Well, the thing is I think people like Bhaskar or whatever, like, will see this and like, I mean, this is a total
bullets.
It's a total guess, but I think they'll empathize. Like, I don't think anything bad is going to happen to Nathan. If anything, this will only make his like entry into that scene of like Jacobin and the Nation and like
interesting
of the more like we're capitalists, although we push a sort of like
you know
reformist line. More easy, and then he'll be accepted into that and be like, oh, you know. You have a vision. We understand. I also have a vision. I'm Bhaskar or whatever. Like, we'll work together to like make it happen. Even though your stupid writers thought they could take over and like do stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I think is going to happen. I think he's going to be more. It's going to be good for him, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is Current Affairs but a startup? Like a media startup.
Yeah.
Like what is current affairs appears now to have always been and it continues to be identical to any media startup, any like an app that ends with the letter R and they drop the E in like a verb, like identical, because all Nathan J. Robinson wants to do is build up a brand and either, you know, have it just be a cash cow or maybe sell it. Maybe sell that brand to a larger publication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah, it is funny because it's like, if you go across the like spectrum of politics, it's like for right-wing media figures, it's like transparently obvious that they're just doing it to like make money and have a media career, like Ben Shapiro or Steven Crowder or whatever. Like in that field, it's like barely anyone actually like has real convictions. And then you go more towards like the center and you have like your Barry Weisses and stuff. And it's like, they try to do this kind of move, like they try to sort of like get canceled so that they can like start up a more lucrative like Substack or whatever. Although Barry Weiss was funny because she like tried to get fired and like it didn't really work. She just like complained about how everyone was mean to her and then eventually had to quit because they weren't gonna like fire her for complaining. But it's
especially because she was like an anti-Trump Republican higher.
She's like, not a Republican, I don't think. She's like a liberal, quote unquote.
She's classic liberal kind of person. She's like a Zionist centrist.
Yeah.
That kind of like absolute drudgery. One funny thing about Barry Weiss, Weiss means white. So it's funny to imagine Barry Weiss like looking like Barry Weiss but singing like Barry White.
Have a beautiful silky
That's
voice.
Right. A wonderful baritone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can't get enough of your love, Barry. Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting to see that like start that I guess happened with like quote unquote like leftist media now, where it's like that Nathan J. Robinson like had some convictions or like thought he did and was like, well, I'm not like a liberal. I want to support socialism, but I also want to like run a fancy magazine.
But
I
feel like even from the beginning of Current Affairs, like the concept of like what he thought socialism or was defining socialism as, and if you listen to the podcast that they did like very early on, you could sort of tell what he kind of meant by socialism was like the New Deal.
Oh, totally.
You know,
like, he was like, we should have a lot of
Bernie shit, you know?
Government deals to be nice to poor people and like restructure, like kind of rejigger everything. Not like
Nathan J. Robinson was even like a Warren guy. He was like a Bernie or Warren guy. So he's not even a like quite to Bernie level. He's barely an FDR. it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
And there's a certain, this is why I sort of get annoyed. It's like, I don't know how important this stuff is, but like back in the day when we were talking about this stuff, like it was really concerning to me to see the word socialism start meaning liberalism. Mm-hmm. Like, start meeting like capitalism with a happy face.
European social democracy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the Nordic model. And it's like, that's not
Nordic model, more like the no dick model. Am I right? Am I motherfucking right?
That is correct.
They're completely dickless, folks. They have no dick.
Yeah. Nathan J. Robinson is like, I think what we really need to do is base our socialism on the Sugandese model. Sugandese nuts. You're all fired. You're all fired.
Yeah, it's just like, I feel like there is some value to like the conversation of like making sure people understand like the definitions of things. And I don't know if it like is a little too insular, mm-hmm. but it does seem really dangerous to like start selling a brand and like getting people to buy your shit and like listen to all these writers to spend time working on a project that ends up not being socialism, mm-hmm. and then like taking all of the energy that happened in 2016 and after and putting it into like reformist projects. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if like really loudly defining a word would have changed anything, but it does bother me.
Yeah. Well, especially stuff like this, it's like not even reformist. It's just like another like product, basically, you know. And mm-hmm. it was like when he started Current Affairs, it was like it was like there's no ads at all, and it just is like supported through subscriptions. So it like it could sort of like it has like this feeling of socialism if you're used to like very blatant capitalism, where it's like, well, the New Yorker is clearly capitalist because they have lots of ads and it's like owned by this big publishing company, but Current Affairs is only owned by a small group of people, and you know, they all say they're socialists and there's no ads, so maybe it actually could be socialist. And then it turns out like not at all. It's just,
this is why you shouldn't,
more exploitation.
Shouldn't trust ambitious people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should trust us because we don't give a shit about our lives.
Yeah, exactly. You could be a little ambitious, you know. You could be like, you know, I set a goal to, I don't know. I set a goal to someday be able to build a replica of my car in Legos. That's a, you know,
that's fantastic ambition.
Like, but if you're ambitious about like starting a media startup and then having, you know, building a career on the backs of people, like you end up having to step on the backs of people to do it. Mm-hmm. So you should, you can't trust people like that. And I know it's hard. Like maybe when they start out, they ostensibly have goals in mind that seem righteous or seem harmless, but I guess you just have to have a good bullshit meter, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or just listen to people who've like been through it before, you know? Like there was people saying early on, like based on what Nathan J. Robinson's actual opinions were, mm-hmm. like this seems fishy and probably won't do anything. But it's also like the stakes are kind of low because it's a magazine. Uh-huh. Like they're not a party. They're not trying to like recruit anybody exactly. They just want your money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's hard to even really care. Although it's funny because like Lyda Gold changed her display name to Fired for Doing Socialism, mm-hmm. which is like, you still don't understand that like having a co-op isn't doing socialism.
Yeah, fired for doing socialism, by which I mean fired for wanting a bigger slice of the pie at the bourgeois media startup that I help run.
Yeah.
I mean,
shut
it's like
the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's like an edifying moment for like, I don't really know who the people are who were like read Current Affairs and are like, this is everything I need to know about socialism, but like there have to be some people, and it's good to imagine them being like, wait, what the fuck, like Nathan's not a socialist, I have to reconsider, and like maybe they'll actually read some Marx now or something.
You'd have to you'd have to imagine that it would be nice.
Yeah.
On a lighter note, the Democrats have fully pivoted to a message of fund the police.
Oh, good. Okay.
Really?
What happened there?
Shocking.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've been talking about this for a while, but it's hitting California and New York. They're basically positioning it as like crime is going up. But something tells me that when people are either evicted or facing eviction, when there's a absolutely insane terrifying job market, when everything is on the verge of crashing, prices in your supermarket double. Like, I think it's fair that we can only solely place the blame for any sort of crime increase on the people that wanted to defund the police. I think that all of those all of those socioeconomic circumstances have nothing to do with it, and that you know, you should only look at, you shouldn't never look at like the holistic nature of the problem. You should only look at a short-sighted cause and a short-sighted half-assed measure.
Right. You know what
plus we it. Also know, we know the police never lie or bend the facts to their advantage. So when they say crime is increasing, it definitely is in every case. They're never exaggerating or lying or looking harder for crime now. Or
that's actually,
like
that's totally factual. And crime is a fixed thing that we all agree on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's also crime important. Yeah. Crime is, you know, something that happens in the street and is done by people who are criminals.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we're coming
out
hard law and order here. we're a law and order podcast.
Yeah, this is
look, on the way to the podcast factory today, four of the Joker's henchmen wearing big masks that said I am a bad guy and a clown mask, they stole my wallet and beat me up. So, you know, crime is everywhere and we need police and Batman to stop this.
Right, and that's also another thing is that like you get down to like these assumptions of just like I don't even agree what crime is with these people, let alone like even if crime were up, the solution isn't put more police on the street or give police more money. Mm-hmm. Like even if I agreed with them that crime was up, it's an insanely vague sentence as it is, because it's like, is wage slavery up? Because it probably is and no one does fucking anything about it. Is tax evasion up? Yes. Are you going to do anything about that?
It is way up. It's centralized exactly to my household. I'm not fucking paying. Look, they wasted $2 trillion in Afghanistan. If you're not just plugging numbers into TurboTax until you get all your money back, you are a goddamn fool.
Exactly.
An entire room of people, like in that scene where he's like, my God, that's Jason Bourne. They're like, my God, somehow Todd has evaded $50 million in taxes, even though he didn't even owe that much money.
That's
he's
right,
he's keeping more money for himself somehow.
Yeah, you're just getting checks from the IRS
every
for $6 million.
No. I filed taxes under the Mujahideen exception.
Okay.
I was like, let me get some of that sweet, sweet funding.
I'm a brave Mujahideen soldier and I will happily take RPGs as funding.
Right. Yeah, writing this off my taxes, the RPG I had to get fixed. The guy didn't really know where it was from, so he charged extra.
I had to buy 6,000 Ford F-150s from 1987.
Did you see how like one of the Afghan government, like the U.S. backed officials, fled the country with like a hundred, like I'm not even exaggerating, like over $100 million?
Really?
Yes, I did see that.
That guy is such like, a that's a guy such a baller.
Right? It's awesome. Yeah,
you
I mean,
can't
it's terrible
even fault him.
Like, yeah. I was it like the president? Because I think I saw that like the former like quote unquote like president of Afghanistan just like fled basically the day the U.S. left.
Hamid
was
Karzai?
Like, oh, see ya.
I don't know if he really got that bag. I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the only reason you sign up to work in like the puppet regime when like the U.S. comes into your country is like you want to cash out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that's a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. What were you saying about the Democrats doing about the defunding or funding? What have they passed?
No, I mean, local Democrat mayors across the country are now officially refunding the police.
I mean, they never really defunded them, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Were there a few places where they like lowered it by 1% or something or like moved money around or something?
Yeah.
I think a lot of places did that. We're just like, oh, we're going to defund. And they just sort of like reorganized the department and reallocated
yeah.
and just like this
literally no one has defunded anything.
Yeah, not as far as I'm concerned.
You know how you prevent crime?
Batman?
It's not about investing
it's Batman.
It's not about investing in communities. It's not about eliminating stuff like food deserts, school to prison pipelines. It's not about any of that. It's not about making sure people are housed and clothed and aren't exposed to drugs that are brought into cities by the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
What it really is about is having precogs in fluid tanks doing pre-crime predictions and sending out extrajudicial death squads to prevent crimes in the first place. So we could defund the police and fund like a Minority Report style future crime division.
I think that would solve the problem. I would have thought it was all the other things you said, but you're right. It must be the other thing.
I think it's impossible to refute. Yeah, I don't see how you can. I was just imagining if it was like also the like pre-cancellation cogs or like pre-firing cogs, and then it was like one of them, because you know when they like see the vision and the inside the tank, they start like saying whatever the person is saying when they kill someone.
Oh yeah,
it'd
be
funny if one of them like became Nathan J. Robinson in the Zoom meeting when he was like, I can't believe you guys want to start don't you think I'm a good boss, and then freaking out and then deciding to fire everyone. Pretty funny.
But what happens when the precogs unionize? What happens when they realize they're just cogs in the machine? There's like precogs, and then there's postcogs who have really good hindsight, and then there's just cogs who just see everything going on around them but are powerless to stop.
They can just think. Yeah.
That's right.
Postcogs is funny. I wonder if someone's done that as like a comedy sketch, just like in the tank, and they like tell you what you should have done after a date or something.
Yeah. We're just getting all cognizant up in here.
Yeah. Nathan, you shouldn't have fired your whole staff of your socialist magazine. Now you look like a dub and no one wants to write for you anymore. Oh shit, you're right, postcogs. Why didn't I think of that?
You'll have to take a job at the New York Times.
I mean, that's what it all leads to, right? It's mm-hmm. like
if you
trash your career in like left journalism, where can you go but the New York Times or a similar publication?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can still like funnel and be like, look, I'm the socialist hire. Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm trying to go after Beep Beep is done. I'm trying to go to the New York Times. I'm not trying to get hired there, but I am trying to go there. I'll let you fill in the blanks.
Yeah, I'm going to do a little construction at the New York Times.
They got a few potholes in the floor. Let's just say they need to be filled in.
Yeah.
It would be funny if like next week we all tried at the same time to do the Nathan J. Robinson. Like, we were all like, hey, I think actually I should run Beep Beep by myself and hire a new staff of hosts who only do what I say. And then John's like, well, that's a weird coincidence. I actually have a thing already drafted up about how I should be the one running Beep Beep. Mm-hmm. And then we all just like form four Splinter podcasts, and then are like, this is actually just more work
than this doing sucks.
It before. This is annoying.
I didn't actually want to do any work.
I just wanted to be in charge. I thought would keep doing the work for me.
Didn't this happen with speaking of Splinter podcast? Didn't this happen with Splinter?
But
not because Splinter was like independent. I think it was part of Dead something. What a
Deadspin.
Deadspin.
I don't remember. What was Splinter?
Gawker. Is Splinter a Gawker subsidiary?
Oh, maybe.
Who I knows think somebody, and who fucking cares?
I think somebody bought them, mm-hmm. And that's why they just like got super fired. Mm-hmm. Everyone, all at the same time. It's so weird how that keeps happening, and mm-hmm. no one thinks anything should change. Like, Cracked happened, Gawker happened, Deadspin happened, mm-hmm. Splinter happened.
Do you think Nathan is just actually pivoting to video, like way late?
Yeah, that's what he's doing. They're just pivoting to video.
Did you guys see this shit about how the Sackler family is looking for, they were like, I think they were ordered to pay like over $1 billion.
Are they looking down the barrel of a gun?
Yeah, I wish.
Otherwise, I don't care.
I think they were ordered to pay money to like victims of the opioid crisis, but then they were like, we'll do this, but we want immunity from prosecution.
Immunity for what?
Yeah,
exactly. Like, nobody. I don't know. I don't know if this is right, but I'm pretty sure they wouldn't be asking for immunity if they were innocent.
Yeah, not usually the move to be like, by the way, while I pay this $1 billion, I'm immune. I didn't actually do anything.
Immunity is generally something that you fucking ask for or get when you're like a snitch.
Yeah.
Like when
if you're
like
testifying, I will.
Yeah, it's a plea deal thing. Yeah. So basically, you are admitting that you're guilty, mm-hmm. but you're going to give something to someone else.
Yeah.
So that, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't come back on you or for a reduced sentence or something.
Wait, so what does that say about people who get the COVID-19 vaccine? Because you're like, just so you know, I want immunity from COVID.
Yeah.
kind of implies you like you know something about Coke. Maybe you knew right. about the factory where it was produced. You're in your lab. Yeah, yeah. Interesting that people are all rushing to get the vaccine because they want immunity.
Because they want immunity. Why, I think why is everybody
looking to get herd immunity? They want nothing to do with Amber Heard.
Wait, different context? I don't know.
They're Johnny Depp fans.
I'm trying to get skirt immunity.
What's that?
Skirt.
You're skirt?
That's where you don't get, you're never skirt.
You never get skirt, yeah.
American people. We gotta get scared of immunity, folks. We gotta be not scared. I wasn't scared of corn pop. Now we're not scared of the Taliban. The
U.S. military is pulling out of Syria because they have curd immunity.
Oh no, they've gotten curd immunity. We better get out of here,
folks. We have breaking news. Former President Donald Trump has not left his suite at Mar-a-Lago for 45 days. They say he has turd immunity and he can't take a single shit, and he feels embarrassed to be so bloated and full of poop.
He's stuffed full of McDonald's. He's mostly Filet-O-Fish at this point.
The one vegan at your Thanksgiving has bird immunity.
Mm-hmm. Bird immunity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is going on in Afghanistan?
I don't know. What's going on over there?
I'm not really sure.
They're doing some stuff.
The thing is that everything I've seen is almost certainly a lie.
Sure. Like, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what to think about what's going on, because they said, oh, we're going to get out of there. We talked about, I think, an episode ago that Wikipedia says the war is over. 2021, war in Afghanistan.
Well, the thing is, the news says all those people that were trying to get on the airplanes were trying to flee the country, flee the Taliban's oppressive rule. But what they don't tell you is the reason they're trying to flee is because there's all these job openings at Current Affairs.
They all got on a huge plane and they were like, we're going to go to New Orleans.
Yeah, I know a place, a socialist paradise where you can work for a weird nerd in a top hat. Write whatever you want. They call it, it's paradise, my friend.
Yeah, you can hate America there.
Yeah, you can write about death to America and get paid for it in American dollars.
Let's go to America.
And work for Current Affairs.
Yeah, I don't really know, because they're really going to remove the troops. Like, didn't they send like 20,000 more or something?
They had like 5,000 or something there for like, I don't know. Yeah, like when the Taliban was like converging on the city, they had people there. But I think in theory, just to like evacuate, I'm not really sure what they're going to do next.
It comes down to, it's like, it's the age old argument that like, whatever your critique of the Taliban, it shouldn't be any country's job to go into another country and police them, because no matter what their stated goals are, no matter what the stated aesthetic goals are, oh, we're going to save women from the Taliban. It's like, no, they went in there because they wanted resources and they wanted influence in the region.
Yeah.
It's never about saving anyone. That just gives them an excuse.
There's been some insane, like, anti-leaving Afghanistan talking points from strange people you wouldn't expect. But I think that's obviously insane. We should not be there. We shouldn't have a military base there.
Now Afghanistan is it's a widely acknowledged failure. So now it really is just a political football and I genuinely think that the Democrats are terrified for Biden's chances, and they want to, because Trump is now thinking of running, they want to protect against the chance that Trump might run on Afghanistan by being like, you know what, let's withdraw and then let's just hide everybody. Jen Psaki, Kamala Harris, Biden, let's make them completely unreachable for like 3 weeks and hope it all blows over. Yeah. And I think, honestly, I think that it in some ways it is a good move if you're the Democrats, because like, withdrawing from Afghanistan is always going to be a colossal mess. By the very nature of the occupation in Afghanistan, withdrawing was always going to be very messy and basically very damaging politically, even though the grander act of just withdrawing from Afghanistan, regardless of what happens on the ground, is something that most Americans want. So I think that the reason that you don't see any, basically any visible Biden, Harris, most of the administration is being as invisible as possible is because that's, you know, they're strategically trying to just hope it blows over and then run on, hey, we got out of Afghanistan.
Right.
Don't worry about our fuck ups. We got out of Afghanistan.
Well, that's the thing is that I think if they were smart, they would be pushing, like there would be Vox documentaries about all the good things we were leaving.
Yeah.
And like pushing some sort of narrative of like, it's great that we're leaving and we're leaving it better than we, you know, like some sort, obviously it seems insane to even say, but it's not even as insane as the other shit they're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you would think they would be like, okay, in 2000, you know, just insane propaganda. Like in 2003, when we got here, women didn't have these rights and now they have these rights, and interview a lady who has that right now. And it's like, wow, thanks America.
I mean, like, good luck not getting the, like Ezra Klein's going to get hit, like murdered doing that interview because the Taliban are taking over. Like,
I know.
Can't really interview
well, this
anyone,
is what I'm saying is that they just did it.
They fucked
it's
up.
It's a thing that is like, they, there's no good way to do it. So their solution is, in the sense, in politically, I would say,
yeah, yeah.
There's no like political win, because everything that it means is everything you've been told for the past 20 years was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, yes. that every single person in Afghanistan would rather the Taliban be in charge than us.
Mm-hmm.
They would rather us not be there. We accomplished
nothing.
Yeah,
the Taliban has incredible local support.
Mm. Yeah.
It's obviously not going to be everybody, but they're like weirdly like crazy popular over there.
Interesting.
Well, it's like they were the people fighting us.
Yeah.
And protecting people from us, whether it's, you know, yeah, you know, they have very right-wing beliefs and they're, you know, they're literally protectorates, and whether they're the mafia or anything, like they're the only alternative. They were the only organized, well, not the only one, but but they were the largest alternative. And I think that now that America is leaving, it kind of, they're kind of the Viet Cong of this interaction where it's just like a complete imperial force, and then the people who were fighting against that. Who else would you side with?
Who do you think had cooler aesthetics, the Taliban or the Viet Cong?
Oh, the Viet Cong completely.
Viet Cong, definitely. Oh,
yeah,
Viet Cong.
You think so? I don't know, because some of the pictures coming out where they're like having ice cream, they're riding the bumper cars, they're hitting some reps in the dang gym.
Well, there's great Viet Cong stuff post once they won, the you know, the raggedy, like, you know, scary in the trenches stuff isn't as cool as when once Vietnam became Vietnam and they won, that stuff is cool. But I don't know. Taliban's got some good aesthetics, but I have to side with Viet Cong just because I agree with them more. Mm-hmm. but yeah, I don't know. It's tough because it's like, you don't have to say that the Taliban is good in like a political way, but it's not surprising that the people of Afghanistan would choose to, you know, support them over the fictional government that we tried to set, the imperial government who we tried to set up. And it's funny, there's a leaked memo.
Oh yeah, I saw that
from Nancy Pelosi's office. And the white, it's subject line, White House talking points on Afghanistan. And the top line were like, the president was not willing to enter a third decade of conflict and surge in thousands of more troops to fight a civil war that Afghanistan wouldn't fight for themselves. Mm-hmm. Which is like, fuck you.
I know, like to blame them. And it's like, you guys just didn't want it enough.
Yeah, you didn't want to destroy the Taliban enough. You know, we were trying to help you is the framing of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the administration knew that there was a distinct possibility that Kabul would fall to the Taliban. It was not an inevitability, though. It was a possibility.
Might not.
Yeah, it was going to happen. Like, there's no fuck, like, fall to what? You didn't
set
anything up.
They kept saying it would
up.
Happen like yeah. a month, 2 months in advance. Yeah. Like, but later, but it happened in like 3 days, mm-hmm. which is like, goddamn, they're competent. Holy shit.
I was just reading about that that Congress is apparently going to like do a probe about Afghanistan and like hearings and stuff to be like, what happened? Why did it collapse so fast? Or like, why did all this happen? Which definitely does not like work for Joe Biden's possible plan to just like hide out until it blows over.
A hearing?
Yeah.
What for what?
I don't know.
We all know those hearings before Congress, they result in some big doings. They're always mm-hmm. very
you know what we
useful
should do? We should,
and not
we should
at all
put together
fucking wastes of time where yeah. nobody responsible for anything ever actually sees justice.
Mm-hmm. Look, they just want transparency about the Afghanistan strategy from Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, which is funny because like they've been in off, they've been like, you know, not to like say they're blameless or anything, but like Anthony Blinken has been the Secretary of State for like 6 months or something, 8 months. It's like, we've been in Afghanistan for 20 years. Like, talk to someone in the military, not just like the
no,
cabinet.
But they rehabbed George W. Bush, so they can't pin yeah, it on yeah. him now.
Mm-hmm. Man, imagine if
you Trump... mean the oil painter?
Yeah, yeah,
that's right.
The lovely man who does cute paintings of his dog in the shower or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, he has like some mental problems if he draws stuff like he's a child, but like they're kind of cute for what they
well,
are.
Well, if the Atlantic nice. Magazine is to believe is to be believed, Afghanistan is actually our fault.
Oh yeah.
Like oh yeah.
Us as what, citizens, because we wanted to invade or something.
It's your fault.
Yeah.
It's well, it's definitely Todd's fault. It's not my fault.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is Todd?
Well, that's just because
Dick
I
Cheney?
Was. That's just because I was arming rebels in Kandahar. Okay, that was yeah, just. But that was just a side hustle. That wasn't my main. That wasn't
yeah,
my
you were
main
on your
thing.
That was your Sigma grind set.
Yeah, yeah,
that's just, it's just Sigma grind set. Okay,
you can't hate on someone for
that's
grind
right.
set.
Yeah, that's
talking
right.
point. We the White House assumed that some Afghani citizens would have more of a Sigma grind set, but it turned out they were out hustled by the Taliban, who simply wanted it more. The Taliban were fully on their Sigma grind set. They were rising and grinding every day, and they ground Kabul to dust in a matter of minutes.
That's right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to them.
Imagine if Trump runs on the promise of we will get back and in and fix Afghanistan, and then suddenly like every blue check is like, I hate this, but we have to vote for Trump now because yeah. he supports peace. And like Trump like rebrands a little bit and it is like has a feminist angle of like, well, we got to get the women out of the burqas and whatever else, and then everyone's like, well, we gotta vote for him because he wants to free women from bondage.
But yeah, if you don't know, the Atlantic published a opinion article where their opinion column is called Ideas. Just fucking ideas,
I like ideas.
Throwing out. It's like just when I get thought. Really high and I'm like, are foxes cats or dogs? let me write that article, the
yeah,
Atlantic.
Yeah.
They're a weird hybrid made by Satan.
Yeah. It's entitled Afghanistan is Your Fault by Tom Nichols.
What?
The lead is the American public now has what it wanted.
What did I want?
I don't know. Well, it's so bizarre to even say the American public as though random people not in Congress had anything to do with invading Afghanistan. Says Kabul has fallen. Americans will now exercise their usual partisan outrage for a few weeks, and then Afghanistan, like everything else in a nation with an attention span not much longer than a fast food commercial, will be forgotten.
Does anybody else think the American armed forces are spending too much time on TikTok?
Yeah, put down your phones. Everybody's on their phones now.
Put down the McDouble and the Rick and Morty Szechuan sauce,
yeah,
you American pigs.
Why don't you look up, Zoomers? In the meantime, American citizens will separate into their usual camps and identify all the obvious causes and culprits, except for one, themselves.
Oh, shit. Yeah, why don't you guys look in the mirror for a change? The damn mirror about how you decided to invade a sovereign country using the authorization for military force that Congress passed.
Look,
think about that one.
Before you judge me, judge not lest ye be judged. That's all yeah. I'm saying. All right, it's in the Bible.
Don't throw
you can
stones,
look it up.
Bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, what the hell is this person talking about? It's like they talk about how North when U.S. forces had to endure the misery of the retreat from North Korea back to the 38th parallel, no one made the argument that it had happened because of the voters. No one turned to the American people during the fall of Saigon and said, this is on you. So why would I do that now? And then his answer seems to be because it was really popular at the outset.
The war?
Yeah. Which is,
I was like 10.
Yeah.
I was a child, okay?
So his argument is like, because we manufactured consent, it's now your fault. It's like,
right.
Listen, because I gave you a date rape drug, it's actually your fault that you consented to have sex with me,
also,
even though now you're like, I didn't want to do
that. I just want to be clear. Like, just because a Gallup poll said something doesn't mean it's fucking true.
Yeah.
Like,
they never call me.
Like, the fucking, we had the largest anti-war protest in, like, modern era, mm-hmm. against this. There was millions of people protesting against this war.
Yeah.
The Iraq and Afghanistan war.
It is funny that all the a lot of the, like, libs who were against the war probably are now, they're probably like, we should go back in and fix things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They think that you should just be like, well, we fixed it. We fucked everything up, so we have to go fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's our responsibility. We should be there for another 10 more years.
That's why the Taliban are even in power in the first place, right? Is because of, like, our meddling originally. It's like kind of a, like, brilliant strategy when you think about it, which is like, go to other countries and, like, make, like, alliances with the worst people you can find there and, like, make the country, like, a reactionary hellhole. And then at some point you can be like, we have to get rid of this tyrant, Saddam Hussein, who, by the way, we sold weapons to, or, like, we have to get rid of the Taliban. And then you can just always keep messing those countries up and then using that as a justification to stay there longer.
Now, I know that, like, basically all news sites are flooded with Afghanistan stuff, but some good news came out recently from China. Apparently, ooh, okay. Xi Jinping is saying that they are going to curb excessive income and take basically do redistribution from the wealthy, which kind of rules.
Yeah. There was a thing
that's
recently,
good.
He like nationalized like some pretty big stuff. I think it was like companies for like study aid or something. There was just like some random things that he was basically like, well, this shouldn't be a thing you profit off of. Everyone should be able to like have access to this. So just like made them national companies. And like, I think it was like in the news in the West because like the stock market was affected because a lot of those companies were like publicly traded and basically like lost a lot of value. It's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, the Biden administration is positioning China as the United States' greatest, not necessarily enemy, but rival, even mm-hmm. though, you know, I mean, all of our shit comes from China, thanks in large part to American leaders, basically just doing things for profit and offshoring a lot of shit, and at the same time bolstering the Chinese economy and setting them up for a Chinese century now that the American century is over. But like, if they wanted to truly compete with China, if American leadership wanted to compete with China, why would they not do this, right?
Why would they not take away billionaires' money?
Yeah, why would they not also do redistributive policies? We said it on the podcast before. If you want to curb things like inflation, if you want to curb massive wealth inequality, if you want to you take it away from the fucking oligarchs. And China has figured that out. And like, that's not the only good thing China does. There's also bad things that China does. But like, mm-hmm. if you want to compete with China, if you are an American leader, I mean, I feel like there could be like some fucking psycho populist who runs, you know, the next Trump, whatever. If mm-hmm. he ran on doing China style policies in the United States, he'd win every fucking state. He or she, you know, mm-hmm. because it could be a populist state. Market fascist girl boss or something.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so strange that they're not. It's because they must understand that like the story, the fabric of America as a story is just completely crumbled. Like no one believes in the American dream. No one believes in like ownership of a house is going to save them or even thinks it's going to be possible. And it's out of reach for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the issue is that American leaders have a like producer's style mindset where they're like, maybe we could make more money if we destroyed the entire country.
Yeah. What if we make a play called Springtime for Hitler? Yeah.
when they should have an American Sigma grind set, completely withdraw all of the imperial colonies, whatever, isolationist, work on yourself. It's, you know, you had just had a bad breakup with Afghanistan. It's time to circle the wagons. Keep your circle close. You know, if your circle isn't discussing material gains for the working class, if your circle isn't discussing healthcare for everybody, if your circle isn't discussing how to break up hedge funds, firms like BlackRock, pharma companies, insurers, then you need a new circle.
Right. I mean, and I'm not even saying that I want those reforms, because it's like, I think that at this point, like, reforms just strengthen the state, the current capitalist state.
I'm not saying I even see those things as possible.
The people in charge
would never want them.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like, the real state is the billionaires at this point. Like,
that's right.
The state is the oligarchs, and then Joe Biden and Congress are like the window dressing.
They're the managers.
Like, yeah, I think like deep down they know.
The president is the cops for the billionaires.
Yeah, it's like, I think deep down he knows that like if he tried to do something like take away Jeff Bezos's or Elon Musk's wealth, they would just like move to a different country. They would be like, well, I'm moving to Singapore, and so is Amazon, and so is like all of my money. You know what I mean? It's like these businesses are global at this point. And like, if they had to, it would be harder than operating in the US, but they could figure out a way to like take all their money, leave the country, and then Joe Biden would get nothing.
That's a good point. Have you guys ever worked at a job that was going out of business?
I don't think so.
Kind of. I worked for a company that was constantly like doing like 40% of the employees like lay off in one day kind of things, because it was a startup and it was
dark,
very, very tumultuous.
That's what this feels right. like. Like yeah, if yeah. you, if you ever, I worked at a store when I was like a teenager, I worked at a store that was like on the verge of going out of business, having its assets sold and being bought up by like a national chain. It's just a shitty retail store. And yeah. The way that it feels the same, you know, the regime is the managers of this decline. And like in the same way that like if you're working at like a shitty job that is starting to go out of business, the way that your manager is just like not really giving a shit, basically being like, yeah, I guess you can have hours if you want. We need to keep, you know, need to like keep the lights on. You need some office supplies, shit like that, you know. That's what it feels like to live in America right now.
It absolutely feels that way. It feels like there's a certain sense that, like, I remember, actually I have a better example of it. My parents tried to start a bookstore when I was in high school.
Sounds bourgeois to me.
Yeah, they it only lasted for 2 years. They tried to start a bookstore, and then it, you know, ended because they didn't have the money or whatever. And that was like a weird thing where it just felt like, I remember constantly asking, like, why don't we just have people who like to shop here, like, donate money, and then they can also run the bookstore.
Oh, really?
Like, I remember being in like high school and just being like, why don't we just like have a fundraiser or something? And then like we can give and then everybody can own the bookstore, because people liked the store. And like people just like looked at me like I wasn't making any sense. And maybe it was naive or whatever. I don't know actually why people don't do that. Still to this day, like during the pandemic, like lots of bars have closed, right? Like Alphaville didn't make it.
Wait, are you saying like if I pay like $100 a month, I could have a share of my local shitty dive bar?
Or like, I don't even know.
I own
like
this stool. There's a little, little metal, bronze metal plaque that says, this is my stool. Yeah.
But like, if it's like a venue, if bands like wanted to all pitch in to like help pay rent so they could like book shows there or something, or like, I don't know, some sort of like situation. I just feel like no one even tries to think about it.
I think some places did do that. They were sort of like, you want to buy a t-shirt from our bar to like help support us or whatever. It's just like, for some places that work better than others. Like, and yeah, also they didn't do it like that. They just did like, do you want to give us money so we can like stay open as a small business?
There's like little local co-op supermarkets. REI does that. They like accost you with like a brochure about like, oh, you can pay.
I literally for the first time went to a REI. I've never stepped foot in an REI until like 2 weeks ago.
I fucking hate REI.
And it was like, oh, this is where all those women get their clothes.
Yeah. And so it was shocking. Like, was telling you about the co-op membership. But afterwards, we were like, that's not a co-op. That's like a discount.
Yeah.
Deal.
It's a Costco.
It's like, yeah. It's like pay $50 bucks and then you get 20% off. That's not you do co-op I
get,
anything.
Yeah, you don't get a share of the company.
If I don't get to vote in who gets fired, then it's not anything.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nathan J. Robinson is just like, we got a co-op for current affairs. You pay me $50 and then you get a discount on subscriptions for your friends and family. You can't lose.
What is under capitalism, selling stocks is like, oh, we're making this into a co-op or we're going public or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, we need money. We need an infusion of cash. So we'll sell shares of ownership in this enterprise. And except at the end of the day, the enterprise has this duty to the people that own the shares, more often than not large institutional investors, and at the exclusion of all other goals. And that's why you get, the cannibalization of companies, through private capital.
Right. And it's just like, I don't know. It really feels like you're talking about like, when you know you're going to close and the store isn't going to exist anymore and there's just like months of like time until the money runs out, you know, and then you're just like trying to sell a bunch of back stock. That's what it feels like.
Being at the bookstore and asking your manager, hey, I know we're closing next week. Can I have this cardboard cutout, this life-size cardboard cutout of Shaq that just says Reed?
I would love a Reed Shaq.
Oh man, that'd be awesome, because I just tell people it meant like, you know, the drag queen style Reed.
I'm a Reed. Like reading what someone's doing or whatever, seeing through them.
I mean, I guess you could get office supplies cheap if that's how I got my desk chair, you know.
Oh yeah. At the tech startup, I literally, my basement is full of chairs that cost them like $2,000. I just like put them in a truck and took them home.
My fucking computer is like a $1,500 like workstation laptop that was $100.
Yeah, for engineers.
From that. Yeah.
Because they would just like fire a bunch of people and be like, we're gonna get back whatever we can.
Yeah.
And then sell those computers to the employees that were still there.
Yeah.
Woo! Oh, very funny. But that is how America feels. Mm-hmm. It just feels like we're benefiting off of absolute abject misery and people just getting like thrown into prison and like
And then you're like, well, I guess since I'm benefiting from this, I'll play some Nintendo Switch. I don't know what else to do.
We're offering a new Patreon tier where you can become part of the Beep Beep Co-op. You don't get any ownership of the podcast, but you get the satisfaction of knowing that you're
we're gonna democratize the Patreon. Everybody just gets their $5 back.
Teach you how to pirate RSS feeds. Don't actually do this.
Yeah, well, speaking of the Patreon, this has been the Beep Beep Lettuce episode. And if you'd like to hear more of this show, please go to patreon.com/beep beep lettuce.
We're marathoning, baby. Two episodes, one day. The second one's going to be ridiculous. We have nothing to talk about. It's going to rule.
Yeah, and if you want to sign up to hear that, please give us $5 at Patreon. Otherwise, follow us on Twitter and stuff. And Mids posting and Discord, and we'll see you there.
The beep on, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.